Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today's episode is presented by Meta.
A virtual reality platform created by Fundamental VR and Orbis International helps train doctors to treat cataracts, resulting in more confident surgeons operating worldwide. Meta and the metaverse are having impact today.
There's never a bad time for equality, is there?
Saying that it will come with the time, well, it hasn't come. We've waited enough.
EU Confidential brings you a special new mini-series on women.
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 Power.
Power.
And the EU election.
The XX Factor features both politicians and candidates.
Women are risk takers. People forget that.
Female leaders in the European Union.
You can really feel the change.
You're listening to The XX Factor.
Welcome to the XX Factor, where we discuss women, power, and the EU election. My name is Sarah Wheaton, and I'm a healthcare reporter at Politico. I'm hosting the XX Factor this week as we look at what Europe can learn from elsewhere. Record numbers of women are standing for election in countries around the world, changing the global face of politics and bringing gender equality in national legislatures a step closer. Last year, an equal number of men and women were elected to Mexico's parliament. It's being celebrated as a major milestone.
When the 64th Congress is sworn in on September 1st, it will make Mexican history. Both the Senate and lower house, called the Chamber of Deputies, will have the greatest number of women lawmakers ever.
New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern gave birth to a daughter, making her the second woman leader to have a baby while in office, after Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto in 1990.
I am by no means the first woman to multitask. And in terms of being a woman in politics, there are plenty of women who carved a path and incrementally have led the way to be able to make it possible for people to look upon my time in leadership and think, yes, I can do the job and be a mother.
Rwanda has the highest number of women parliamentarians worldwide. Women have won over 60% of seats in the lower house. In Europe, the average percentage of women in national parliaments, just 30.2%. So let's move out of our little Brussels bubble and look at what we can learn from outside the EU.
Women need to dare, women need to step forward. And I think this is sort of one of the lessons we can take away from developments in the United States. It's that there, the attention is really about the individuals and building a pipeline.
That's Carina Horst, Deputy Director of the Brussels Office of the German Marshall Fund of the U.S. We talked to her about the lessons the EU can take away from the last midterm elections in the United States. But first, we caught up with regular EU Confidential contributor Lena Abaros. She's from Jordan and works in Brussels as the Managing Director of a consultancy agency, Eurofex.
I'm Jordanian. I was raised in Amman, and my family is still there.
Lena worked for the past 11 years in Brussels and Barcelona. Before that, she was working for the Jordanian government.
We are just a few days away from the 73rd anniversary of Jordan as a country. And I believe right from the beginning of the establishment of Jordan, one of the key elements and the key highlights were how they can have women head-to-head with men, whether directly or indirectly. Latest percentages are not so high, or we're not so proud to say we have accomplished all what the OECD or what the international community is asking from Jordan. But yet again, compared to other countries in the neighbor, I think we are moving slowly but surely.
The Jordanian House has 130 seats. 20 of them, 15%, are filled by women at the moment. This is slightly above the existing quota, which allocates 15 seats to women.
In terms of politics, we have introduced a few years ago the quotas. Personally, I think it's a double-edged sword. It's good because we at least have some seats, yet it is lower than what we want. And it's a preventing from a natural homegrown women participation on a very grassroots level. But this happens with time, and this happens with education, with integrating it right from the school to give the female and the young ladies how to go to vote, what is their role in the politics. It comes slowly, slowly. Politics is no more in Jordan a taboo or something just given to men. I think Jordanian women have really proved that we can lead in the most compassionate, authentic way. I personally worked in environments where all the time they were male-dominated. In some position I had, I was the only female there. And I encourage every young woman in back home and even here in Europe, because we are not that different that much from Jordan, to not be afraid and to try and to not to shy away, you know, not to be just put aside just because it's normal for this sector or for this industry to have more men.
Although Lena is optimistic, she is also realistic about the challenges women face in a male-dominated workplace.
Look, I have to say it hasn't been easy at all in the beginning, especially when you are 22 years, 23 years old. But then again, I decided to have a thick skin, and I said, I'm not going to cry and go to the restroom with a towel and be intimidated by another male colleague just because I am a lady and it's unusual to be in these places or in these positions. But I worked much harder than them, longer hours, to do more and more in order to be noticed by my seniors, to be able to compete on equal foot, which was never equal. But it's a persistence, and it's not to give it up and not to say, yeah, okay, they are better than us. It's really difficult. It's very hard. Now in our agency, I try as much as possible to have women rather than men, because I truly believe that we need to empower each other on day-to-day basis, on our day-to-day practices, not by just saying we need more panels of full of women, or we need more women on board of companies or in leadership positions. It begins on a very, very lower level.
Lena picks up on something that our own Ryan Heath discussed with Lolba Al-Kater, Qatar's foreign ministry spokesperson.
Tell us, are there many women working in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs? And what is it like working in a region that many people perceive as male-dominated?
Absolutely. I mean, yes, I'm the first spokeswoman in Qatar, the GCC, and probably in the Arab region. That said, I would probably revisit something you posed in your question, that women might have a particular position in our part of the world, basically. I think women are having difficulties everywhere. I myself studied in the UK. My undergrad was in engineering, and it was, again, yet another male-dominated world. So I started facing some of the difficulties back then, and I realized that what sometimes in the gender studies discourse they call the glass ceiling was actually there. So it's not seeable necessarily, however, it exists. And then my first job was in the oil and gas sector. Again, yet another male-dominated sector, as you can imagine. Now, only very recently I joined the world of diplomacy and politics and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And I think that the same difficulties obviously exist. You have an expectation of having a particular pattern of professional behavior that is men-like, I would say. And personally, I reject that. I'm very proud of my identity in all its dimensions, including the gender dimension. And I think it's very important for us as women around the world to preserve this identity, because it's powerful and beautiful.
Let's move across the Atlantic, where the midterm elections last November in the United States saw the highest turnout in a century, with more than half of eligible voters casting ballots. The new U.S. Congress includes a record number of women and first-time congressional representatives. It's also one of the most diverse when it comes to race, ethnicity, and sexual orientation.
We now have a very diverse U.S. Congress with, a largest number of sort of women and also newcomers. So, you know, there's also first-time representatives and then other diversity, whether it's LGBTQ, religion, ethnic. So it really is much more representative than it ever was before.
That's Karina Horst again from the German Marshall Fund. Our producer, Alina Schart, caught up with her recently at their offices in Brussels.
However, it mostly happens on the Democratic side. The Republicans have an issue because they only managed to get one new woman sort of on board, which has a lot to do that they don't like to talk about identity politics. They don't want to single out sort of women because they're women. So it forces us to have very different... We need to have a different kind of debate or need to develop language to sort of bring women from the conservative side on board. And I think that you can do via issues. It's again, sort of policy areas that I'm interested in.
One of those women on the Democratic side is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Day 523 of the Trump administration. It is easily the most shocking result of this political season thus far. Veteran New York City Democratic Congressman Joe Crowley has gone down to primary defeat tonight at the hands of a hard-left 28-year-old opponent named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is her first campaign of any kind for political office.
Her political career was kickstarted when she was recruited and mentored by Justice Democrats and Brand New Congress, organizations created to take on establishment Democrats in the wake of Bernie Sanders' 2016 campaign.
Women need to dare, women need to step forward, and I think this is sort of one of the lessons we can take away from developments in the United States. It's that the attention is really about the individuals and building a pipeline of female politicians who step up and step in and are willing to run for office. The election of President Trump has certainly helped that because, to put it in some crass languages, in some ways, you could see an incompetent man run for office and win. And I think that has empowered some people to say, if he can do it, I can do that too. But it's also, a deeply divided country where you have policy challenges and women no longer felt represented by the politicians that were in the U.S. Congress and wanted to run themselves so they can contribute to changing some of the sort of policy things. And it's not just about the so-called women's or family issues, whether it's sort of health and reproductive rights or sort of education, but it goes beyond that. It's also how do we deal with security issues, how do we deal with economics, climate change, or even migration. And it's about different perspectives. And I think, if you have diverse people debating those policy issues and trying to take a stand on it, it makes a better policy at the end.
I think what is interesting is that so far in the podcast we have talked about the experience of women as being universal, but you rightly point out that diversity is not only about including more women, but it is also about race, ethnicity, sexual orientation. Do you see any differences between the US and the EU in the way we talk about diversity?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the United States in some ways is much more accustomed to talk about diversity, and there's also this famous term about intersectionality, where it's very much about race and gender and sort of how these sort of fit together. But there's a longer tradition of dialogue, and some of these quote-unquote minority groups are also creating their own organizations and doing advocacy on their own. And now it's about, how do you bring them together? There I see Europe still be light ways away because diversity means something very different in Europe. I mean, we have many Central and Eastern European countries who are very mono-ethnic. And, if you talk about diversity there, it's gender and, maybe one other factor, but this is it. And those are still also very traditional societies. So different kind of dialogues and the debates need to take place there. when it comes to more Western, sort of Northern Europe, I mean, it's Germany, it's France, and it's the UK that's sort of more diverse. Now, with the UK, we're losing one of the most diverse sort of countries probably soon. So, you know, we need to have a different kind of debate here. And I know, you know, there's some efforts in Brussels already to sort of push when it comes to diversity, ethnicity and sort of race. And I compliment them and, you know, the Brussels Finders, we try to work together with them and I'm very aware. But in some ways, Brussels is also dependent on what the EU member states do and what kind of leaders they send to Brussels. So there's something we can do here in Brussels, but a lot also still needs to take place in the member states.
So what can Europe learn from elsewhere? Gender equality isn't just about politics. Empowering women at different levels in society is important, from education to politics to media. Support each other. Women can achieve more if they work together to advance mutual goals. And even though there are differences in terms of our political systems and cultures, maybe even different goals, we all face similar challenges. On the next and final episode of the XX Factor, as voters head to the polls in the European election, we answer this question. Is it time for a woman to run the European Commission?
Yeah, it would be great. Not only a female European Parliament, but also a female chair of the Commission.
This episode of the XX Factor was produced by Christina Gonzalez and Alina Scott, with special thanks to Ryan Heath and Andrew Gray. I'm Sarah Wheaton. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.